church this morning. Just be ready to reload next week. Because I promise you, I got a bunch of notes and a sermon I'm not going to get to preach this morning either. I want to read this verse one more time. Worship team, are y'all good? Y'all good? Thank you, guys. Let me read this one more time. I've got it written down. I don't even have to go in the Word. No, sir, I'm good, brother. Thank you. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. This is Deuteronomy 29:29. To a bunch of people that were about to go into a promised land that had just spent 40 years in failure and dysfunction. He said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever. But the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. Belong to us. That means we own them. And I know you sit here and I know we all say, man, I'm screwed up and I've got these issues in my life and I've got these failures in my life and I've got these thoughts in my life and it's like one minute I'm doing great and the next minute I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? Anybody but me? But then I have to come back to something. And I have to ask myself, what do I own? What do I own? Obviously, I'm not talking about physical. What do I own? Salvation. Can't nobody take that from me. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody can take that from me. Encounter after encounter after encounter with God. I own that. I own that. I've got in the front of this, Lord's had me start journaling and writing down sermon stuff besides in my Bible. These are words that the Lord gave me at the beginning of this year for 2017. Put them in the front and just wrote them all over the front. You know who owns those? I do. You know why? Because the Lord spoke that to me and gave that to me. I own that. And so I sit here and I start thinking about, the enemy wants me to think about how screwed up I am. And God looks at me and He's like, dude, you're probably the richest guy on the planet. Not based on my checking account or in my billfold, but the things that I own. I love it when Jesus comes in John chapter 6 and He starts talking about He's the bread, and then He talks about eat my flesh and drink my blood, and He says if you can only way you can be my disciples if you do these things and all that, and Word talks about everybody starts leaving Him. Everybody is checking out because He's come in, He's laying His cannibalism word out there and everybody's checking out. And He goes to Peter. He said, Peter, are you leaving too? Peter said, Lord, there's nowhere else to go because You alone have the words to life eternal. Peter owned something. Peter owned something that these other people didn't own. That's the reality of who God was and who Jesus was in his life. And it caused him to weather stuff that were secret to God. He's like, I don't understand this. He didn't understand the drink and the blood and eating the flesh any more than anybody else did. But he owned something they didn't own. Come on, somebody. He owned something they didn't own. That was the revelation of who Jesus really was. If those other people had that current revelation that this is the Son of God, it wouldn't matter what he said. They wouldn't have left. That's why Paul could do his thing. because he owned so much stuff. He owned a stoning at Lystra. He owned this and this and this and this and this, because they were given to him. And he said, because I own this, I go into this promised land. You think about what the children of Israel, that dysfunctional group of people we've been talking about, and it was the ones that were over, under 40. It was your generation that came in, and then you walked out 40 years of church life. Junk, sin, and all of this. But he said, the things that have been revealed to you, that's what you own. And that's why you're going to walk into this. And you think about and take inventory, what did they own? My shoes have never wore out. My clothes have never wore out. There's food every day. Manna, and if I get tired of manna, they're quail. Every day. If we can't find water, Moses can speak to a rock. It'll come out. If he's rebellious, he'll hit the rock, but the water will still come out. God has been with me every step of the way. And they own that. And I want you this morning to take inventory of the things that you own. Now, I'm not getting hyper-spiritual here and saying, hey guys, let's go to this new level. This is Old Testament, Deuteronomy 29:29. The things that are revealed to us are given to us. That's what you own. I don't look at you and see broken. It's all right. I see blessed. I do, Carla. I see blessed. I know sometimes you feel like broken. But from my perspective, I see what you own. The things that have been revealed and given to you. Let's take hold on those things. Because when we take hold on those things, we're unshakable. We're unmovable. We're consistent. Even in the dark night of the soul, we're sitting here saying, all right, God, I know what you're doing. You might be gutting. You might be pruning. You might be pulling bones out. But it's something to make me glorious. Thank God for the time and the care of the potter. Last night I was preparing salmon to cook. Lori got them over at a fresh farmer's market and all that. Beautiful cuts of meat, but they didn't do a great job plating them because there was a row of bones coming through there. But I cared enough about the cut of meat and I cared enough about the person that was going to consume it. You know what I did? I went through and I could run my hand along the ridge and I could feel the top of every bone. And so I pulled bone, 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 bone. The whole rib line, I pulled every bone out individually. And you could feel meat tearing when it came off with that bone. But when I got through with it, it was a beautiful cut of meat, fish. And it may feel like the Father is pulling bone after bone after bone after bone out of you. But it's only because He loves you and He cares for you. I didn't get a blade and say, we're just going to butcher this and cut it out and all of this stuff. Meticulously pulled every one. That's the way the Father works in your life. Because He cares. Yes, He does. He said, this is too pretty to be spoiled. That was too pretty for me to butcher it with a knife, so I pulled it out. And He looks at you and you're too pretty for you to be spoiled. You know what makes you pretty? You're created in His image and His essence is in you. He deemed you so valuable that He gave His all on Calvary's cross. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Because you think, man, there's not a lot of value in me. God said, you're a treasure hid in a field. And I'll sell all that I have to buy the field. I'll mine the treasure out, but I'm going to buy the whole thing. And when he bought Jamie, he bought the whole package. Screwed up and all. He said, that's all right. I see the beauty in it. And this morning, I don't care if you're 4, I don't care if you're 40. God wants you to know that. He wants you to know that. That's how much He thinks about you. That's how much He thinks about you. Your mom and dad, they think you're awesome most of the time. Grandparents think you're awesome 90% of the time. But God looks at you and He sees awesome 100% of the time. Because He sees treasure. And He sees beauty. And He sees royalty. He sees beloved. That's what He sees. That's what He sees in you. That's what He sees in you. And you're like, He had to live with me. He does. And He still sees that. He sees it when you were at your worst and y'all were just like, y'all ever mean to each other? I know you are. I got 5 grandkids. I know you are. God sees you when you're at your worst and He still says you're glorious and beautiful. He still says you're powerful. He still says you're treasure and He still says you're beloved. Maybe beloved's a little stretch for you guys on understanding what beloved is. But the way that mama and daddy look at each other and y'all say, ew, that's the way He looks at you. Y'all get that now? Yeah. Yeah. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Because when you get 16, if you feel like you're far away from God, He still looks at you and feels the same way about you. And when you're 19 and you go off to college and you forget God for a while, He still looks at you the same way. The most beautiful thing to me about the story of the prodigal son is that the father always had an eye on the horizon. David, that's the most beautiful thing about that story. It's not the robe, it's not the ring, it's not the fatted calf. It's not the party. It's the fact that day after day after day after day, the father saw further than the servant saw. Because if they'd have saw him first, they would have judged him. But the father saw him first and he outran everybody else. I promise you the father's got an eye on the horizon and he will outrun your dysfunction, Marvin. Yes. He's got an eye on my horizon and he outruns my dysfunction. He outruns my screwed upness. That's how much he loves us. That's His design for us. So I just want you to receive that this morning. I just want everybody to receive that this morning. I have no expectation. Just receive that this morning. Let it soak on you. Let it soak on you. Let it soak on you. Such a way, man, you can't get it off. Let it soak on you. Maybe you got something. Thought you had something there. Oh, man. If you're here this morning, here's how I feel like we need to do an altar call this morning. If you're here this morning and you have a hard time receiving the love of the Father, I mean receiving the love of the Father. I mean receiving the love of the Father because you say, I'm not worthy, or society says you're not worthy, or your family says you're not worthy, your friends say you're not worthy, your sin screams you're not worthy. If you have a hard time receiving the love of the Father, I want you to come down to this altar and I want you to start receiving love. Let's stand to our feet. If you have a hard time receiving the love of Father because you feel unworthy, because you feel like your sin's too big, your failure's too much, if you have a hard time receiving that, I want you to move. Because if you sit out there and you don't move, guess what? You won't receive it next week either. This is a breakthrough for you. If you will come and receive, if you'll come and receive the love of the Father, I'm not talking about salvation, I'm not talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about receiving the love of the Father.